Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everyone doing? I hope you guys are doing well. How's the weather where everyone is? Is it still springtime? We are definitely feeling down here in Florida very high temperatures. It's warmer than usual this time of year, and that's saying a lot, actually. So that means it's going to be a very hot and steamy summer. So I was thinking, I just wanted to say this, if we can all hold an intention and imagine the planet cooling down a little bit, that would be wonderful. I think she needs some help with her hot flashes, and I believe that's going to benefit all of us. So let's do that whenever we feel how hot it is, because we're going into summer. Let's imagine our planet and the oceans cooling down. I think collectively, when we put our minds together collectively, there's a lot of power in that. I'm super excited for today's show with my returning guest, Reverend Gregory Possman. He's going to be out in a few minutes, and he's channeling the extraterrestrials today, so that's going to be super cool. Stay tuned for that. Gregory's a returning guest. He's been on my show a bunch of times and will continue to be on more times in the future, and we've never done the extraterrestrial. I've never spoken to them before, so I'm excited. So you guys know who listen to me on a regular basis. Each week I share a manifesting postcard and an affirmation because I create a Magic Monday message. And this week the affirmation is a star is born. I'm sorry, a star is reborn. Another way you can say it is that you decided it's time to reinvent yourself, and you can start with a question. So I had to ask myself the question, what would my life be like if? Now, the ifs are different for everyone. Your if may be, what would my life be like if I had the career of my dreams, or a career that I loved, a person whom I adore, who adores me, or what if my body was at its healthiest? It doesn't matter what it is, because using manifestation and the law of attraction, you're going to get exactly what you focus on. The universe itself is neutral. So if you're thinking and focusing on your desires, that's what you're going to get. But if you're like I was or used to be, and most people are, you focus on lack and what you don't have. So as a neutral universe, what is it exactly that you want? You get exactly what you focus on. And usually we focus on not enough, and more of that not enough comes to us. So the question is, how do I change that? And the answer is by changing how I feel about myself, or changing how you feel about yourself. And what are the inner blocks that stop us from receiving all that we desire? Because we all have them. And this is where the work gets challenging, right? How do we change beliefs that are imprinted on us? These unconscious beliefs is what is really running the show in our lives. And this is where we have to go within. And I believe that most of us on this planet have an unconscious belief that we are not good enough. We're not good enough. We're not rich enough. We're not attractive enough. We're not thin enough. We're not, this enough, that enough. I mean, the list can go on forever. And it's, why is it that we feel that we're not worthy of receiving everything that we desire? I think it starts in our childhood, and somewhere in our lives, we felt that this feeling of unworthiness, and it doesn't matter how it happened, where the message came from, or who told us that. It doesn't matter if we had the most wonderful childhood. It could have been somebody at school said something so innate, you wouldn't even think that it stuck with us, but it did. Or you could have had a terrible childhood where you had a lot of abuse, and that's where those messages came from. But somewhere along the way, we receive those messages. And here's the thing, this is what happened. Not only did we receive the messages, but we agreed to them. That's what happened. We agreed to it. Somebody said something, we felt something, and we decided, yes, you're right. We're not good enough. So we made that decision somewhere along the way. And that's what we want to change. We want to change and say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that message that I'm not good enough. No, you're not right when you implanted that message somewhere along the way. I'm going to change this. And what do we do now? So we go deep inside and we ask ourselves the question, where along in my life did I allow that belief to enter me? Discover where that belief comes from and change it. And you can do anything and be anything you want to be. I can be Melissa 2.0. I can be Melissa 3.0, 4.0, 5.0. It can go on forever. And you can decide you're going to be reborn and you're going to reinvent yourself if that's what you want to do. And you can shift everything around. You can decide today that you're going to be that which you always wanted to be. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you are in your life. All you have to do is make that decision and it's yours. And working with affirmations has done so much in helping me. And believe me when I say positive affirmations work to shifting that energy. But first, we must remove these unconscious beliefs that are blocking us, and we must learn to fall in love with who we were created to be. And then we embody that. So tell yourself, I'm a star. I am amazing. And believe it. So that was this week's affirmation. If you want to see my Magic Monday message postcards along with the affirmations, you can go to my websites. I share them each week on all my social media platforms. And if you're interested in doing some inner work and some exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, please check out my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, which you can find at your favorite online bookstores. And guys, come along and join me in my Facebook group, Postcards of Love. I share like really awesome photos, beautiful pictures of our planet, inspirational messages, tons of animal stuff, anything that's feel good. We want to feel good. We want to raise our vibe, right? That's the goal, to raise our vibe. And, you know, join me on my social media. And I started a YouTube channel, which I think I share with you guys, putting this podcast on YouTube, so you can find me there. Next week, I have author David Kuntz, author of The Art of Stopping, How to Be Still When You Have to Keep Going. He was a former priest, a marriage and family counselor, who climbed the mountain of too much and found he needed to come to a grinding halt to get a grip on his life and catch up with who he truly is. He says he reached critical mass and that most of us are there or getting close to being there. And he's going to share with us how to stop before we crash. So you can join me next week to hear him. And for my wonderful guest today, I'm so excited. For those of you who are listening for the first time, I have a returning guest, Reverend Gregory Possman. He's a psychic trance channel, and he channels over 40 light beings, including the archangels, master teacher spirits, and extraterrestrials, including the Palladians, Syrians, and Venusians. And he's going to be channeling the extraterrestrials today live on the show. After the first break, we will start there, and then he'll come back and channel again on after our second break. Reverend Possman, he performs workshops throughout the world, and he offers recorded channeled private sessions by phone. And each month he offers a free channeled message, which you can get at his website, GregoryPossman.com. That's Gregory, GREGORY, Possman, POSSMAN.com. Hi, Gregory. I'm so happy you're here with me again.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
How are you doing? Always. How are you? How are you doing up there? Good.
Life rages on, as we say in North Carolina.
Life rages on. How is? Are you getting to do some of your traveling again with COVID and everything? Or,
well, in August I will go back to Denmark and we will do a Council of Shambhala gathering. Right now we have about 32-33 people signed up, and that's my first big trip. But in probably in the next month or two, I'll go back down to Florida and visit with my family and my children and grandchildren. And so I'm looking forward to that indeed.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've been doing everything through either Zoom or through the phone, right? When you're connecting with your clients who you do readings for, or any kind of gatherings that you've been having, right?
Yes, all the webinars we've been doing through Zoom, and I'll do another one of those in June, so... We've been pretty much staying at home for the most part.
I know. It's like, I'm over it. I'm so over it. So what's the Shambhala? Explain what that gathering is that you're doing in Denmark in August.
The Council of Shambhala gathering will take place on the Isle of Fyn, which is right on the edge of the water. And the Venusians have promised that they will show themselves to us. I don't know what that means or what that looks like. But the Council of Shambhala is made up of 12 entities, and their purpose is the peaceful cohabitation of all beings, all species throughout the galaxies and throughout the cosmos. So that's a pretty tall order. And we have been doing these gatherings for quite a few years, and we do them about once every year and a half or so. And this one had been postponed from May, but it's now going to take place in August. And the Isle of Fyn in Denmark is a small island, but it's a very beautiful island. So it's a beautiful place for us to get together.
So is it always the extraterrestrials? That's what it's about every time you have one of these gatherings?
It's not necessarily, but what we're told is that when we gather in circle, so to speak, then the extraterrestrials are very interested in that. And that's one of the things that they really enjoy being part of. So it's a higher consciousness kind of gathering, and it is mostly channeled. And we understand that we have the ability to draw them into us, so to speak. I don't mean into us physically, but into our groups. And that is pretty common. I think that's something that happens quite frequently. So when people of higher consciousness get together, and they join that consciousness together. And I mean anybody. I don't mean somebody who's a priest or a monk or this or that or the, you know, it's anyone. Anyone who comes together becomes still and quiet and then starts to concentrate on their higher self, their soul. The extraterrestrials, according to what I've channeled, are very interested in that process. So they become a part of that process.
Oh, that sounds really, really exciting. Well, today we're going to have two extraterrestrials join us. One's name is, tell me if I pronounce it wrong, Kronos, who is Sirian, and Ascara, who is Venusian. Is that correct? Did I pronounce it right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So, and when we come back from the break, we'll just jump right in. And whoever decides they want to come first is fine with me. I'm not going to select. I'll let them do it. It's really kind of like I'm feeling like super out of body about it, which is kind of interesting the way that I'm feeling today. And I don't know if it's like, you know, on a subconscious level, like I'm connecting in a different way. Like it feels, it feels alien, if that makes sense. I can't describe how I feel. Like I feel different this time than I have with the others. Not that nobody's more important than anybody. I don't want to say that. That's not what I mean. But it feels out of body. It feels different. Yeah. So I thought I would mention that.
I would imagine that you are probably connecting with a very high part of your soul, a very high aspect of your consciousness, and that's who, as far as I'm concerned, my experience, that's who the Sirians and the Venusians are. They are a very high level of consciousness. So they bring that out in us at the same time.
Yeah, because when I've spoken before to, I've spoken a few times to the archangels and the spirit master teachers, and I felt more a sense of, I was always nervous, but I felt more a sense of grounded, calm kind of energy, and this is more of a like floaty energy. Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it. People are listening. They're probably like, what is she talking about? Well, you're going to know when we start talking to them what I'm talking about. Did the extraterrestrials always come to you when you started channeling, or did they come later?
They came later on in my process. And I would say that probably 10 years ago, that's when it started. And it began with the Pleiadians, and then it went to the Sirians, and then the Venusians. And now, interestingly, the Pleiadians don't come through me very often anymore, but the Sirians and the Venusians do.
And what did you think at first when that first you realized that that was happening? Were you like, whoa?
Well, I first of all, questioned everything that happened because I was very skeptical. And it continued to happen. And I became more and more comfortable with it because I had watched all the movies about how nasty extraterrestrials are and they're going to eat our faces off and all that kind of crazy stuff. And so it was a really new experience for me. But when I felt that sort of higher consciousness and that I can't describe it, there's no way to describe it in the physical. It felt safe and it felt secure and it was comfortable.
Why do you think that they want to give us messages? Why do you think they want to connect to us from your perspective? I'll ask them when I speak to them.
I think that they, these particular species, want to help us. And that is not completely what I will say is a selfless desire. In other words, we're a part of the universe, and the universe is all connected. And unity is indeed their desire. They're not interested in dominating us. They could have done that centuries ago if they wanted to. I think that they are very interested in helping us deal with a lot of the issues and the problems on the Earth. One of those problems is our ecosystem, which is clearly in trouble. And they're also very interested in making sure we do not destroy ourselves. And they are way beyond us in terms of consciousness. But they also respect the fact that we have to go through our process. And they can't interfere with that to any great degree until we show a bit more unity and a bit more harmony and certainly a lot more tolerance.
Perfect. Okay, so great. We're up at the first break. So why don't we take our first break here? And then when we come back, we will see which one comes forward first, Kronos or Ascara. Stay tuned. Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Welcome back. Okay, I'm excited. So Reverend Gregory Possman, Psychic Transchannel, is going to channel extraterrestrials today. So Gregory, whenever you're ready, we'll get started and see who comes through first.
Here we go.
Okay, thanks.
We are the one who is called Kronos. We are the spiritual commander of the Syrian race, and we greet you. We are honored for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you, Kronos, for being with me today. So for those who are listening to you for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and your planet, Sirion, please?
We are, at this point in time, what we consider to be a fairly high level of consciousness. We have the ability to appear in the physical, but we do not need physical bodies any longer. We have transitioned beyond the physical state, and, as stated, we are capable of appearing to those of you who are human and any other species, for that matter, but it is not necessary from our perspective. We consider ourselves a collective consciousness, a network, if you will. We are capable of communicating with one another no matter where we are. And since we are a higher consciousness, we are not anywhere, so to speak. The aspect of planetary residence, as you have referred to it, is no longer necessary for us either. And it is to understand that we are very interested in assisting not only your population, but your planet in terms of what we have to offer.
So there is no physical manifestation of Sirion. It's a pure, I'm trying to understand, is it pure consciousness?
It is the highest level of consciousness that we are able to obtain. And we are not comparing ourselves to any other race of beings. We are simply saying that we have achieved a very high level of consciousness. You asked a question earlier, what interest do we have in your population and your planet? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have skipped over in our process of evolution is the study of emotions. We focused upon intellect, knowledge, and technology, and we skipped the aspect of emotion. So we are observing, witnessing, and learning from your race in terms of how you express emotion, how you feel emotion, and what emotion part plays in your evolution, what part emotion plays in your evolution. We sometimes get your sentence structure somewhat confused.
So then what do you want us to know? What do we need to know, humans?
From our perspective, we have only the most beneficial and benevolent intention for your entire race. We are part of what is called the Federation or Confederation of Planets. And in that confederation, one of the primary intentions is not to interfere in the evolution of other races. There are some acceptable exceptions to that, but it is to understand that you are on a path of evolution that your particular collective consciousness has desired and has chosen. And what we are going to say in a moment will probably disturb some of you. Many of you are what we call hybrids. In other words, you have been Sirion. You have been extraterrestrial in other incarnations. You have returned from the future in order to make certain that the planet Earth becomes what you saw it become in the future. And that creates a certain amount of frustration in your lives at this point in time. In other words, there is a loneliness. There is a question as to why much of humanity cannot feel the compassion that many of you feel. There is also a missing of home, so to speak. In other words, the earth plane, though you have voluntarily come here, was never your home. It is a place where you have volunteered to come and assist humanity in raising its own frequency, very much in alignment with what the Council of Shambhala is focusing upon.
That's interesting. So then from that perspective, Sirions also have a lifespan. Is it measured the same way that humans are in years? And is there an age that Sirions will pass on?
There is an opportunity for us to pass out of a Sirion existence. It is more of a conscious decision than it is a question of years and time. Some of us are quite old by your standards, and it is to understand that since we do not have a physical body in mass as you have, we do not have many of the different kinds of challenges that you suffer through in terms of having a physical body. Therefore, if we were that interested in time, and we are not, but if we were, it is said that perhaps we could span beyond 500 years of what you call a typical calendar year. And at that point in time, if we have nothing else to learn from our existence as Assyrian, then we automatically volunteer to move out of that existence. The only acceptable word that we can find in your language is transition. In other words, you might say that we were to die, but all things in the universe go on into infinity. And so, as you have been told before, there is no death. There is simply a new experience.
So interesting. So you said that you are studying, you like to observe, I don't know, study is the right word, observe humans because of emotions. So then my question is, do you experience emotion at all like humans do? For example, romantic love, sex, when children are they born in the same way, or is it just an existence of consciousness is now there? So how is that different from us?
The best way to describe what you consider to be reproduction is if two Syrian collectives, two individual Syrians, decide that they desire to create a third vibrational frequency, they voluntarily agree to do so. And then that frequency is created. And that frequency is a higher frequency than the two original frequencies. So your concept of parental development is entirely different than ours.
Wow. That's just incredible to think of it like that. So are some Syrians inhabiting Earth in human suits, so to speak, or form? And if they are, why are they doing that?
We do not encounter that. We do not encourage that. In other words, from our perspective, that is deceitful. And the aspect of a hybrid, as we have used the word before, is an entity that is fully human, but does have some memory of Syrian life, and also has perhaps other extraterrestrial blood running through its veins, so to speak, even though we use that term, it is not blood, it is more memory. It is more memory of that lifetime. And it sometimes creates the loneliness that we spoke of before. There are many on your planet who have gone outside and actually looked up at the stars and said, "Take me home. I do not wish to be here any longer." There are many hybrids who believe that their life, their voluntary life on this planet, was actually a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. And in order for them to move into a different consciousness, this information may help them. And that is the reason that we have agreed to speak through this man, the emissary called Ashid or Gregory, in order to share this information. Because there are those who are listening who do not understand their existence on this planet. And usually, it is their purpose that is so difficult to determine.
So for those who are listening who may suspect they are a hybrid, what should they do while they are here to help themselves if they're feeling lost or lonely?
We encourage them to explore their hybrid roots, so to speak. And we do not wish for this to sound like a commercial. but we encourage the man Ashid to write an article that is available. It is in his blog. He calls it a blog. And it is entitled Emissaries, Extraterrestrial Hybrids, and the Divine Blueprint. It will explain to them precisely why they are here and how they can determine if it is possible that they are a hybrid. We have no desire for anything other than to assist them. From our perspective, even though they are human, they are still a part of our collective.
A question just came to me as I was listening to you talking. Are people that are considered here on our planet on the spectrum, which is autism spectrum, are many of them hybrids? And is it that their brain works differently than a pure human and not a hybrid?
They are indeed. And their challenge and their lesson in this life is to teach the humans around them who are members of their families, members of those who care for them, and others, that the word normal is not a word that creates judgment. Rather, their condition is a situation that they have voluntarily created in order to learn a lesson themselves and in order to teach. And therefore, they are oftentimes loved greatly, even though their appearance and their behavior is considered abnormal.
Yes, I agree that on that one. Okay, so I want to ask you, Kronos, and the Syrian people, what do you think about the COVID-19 pandemic, and what should we be doing?
This particular virus amongst you has been a lesson for many of you, and many are in denial of its destructive ability, and there are quite a few who consider it a conspiratorial process somehow generated by your governments. We do not see it that way. It is the planet Earth manifesting a natural process to indeed allow those who needed to transition into another world, another life, another experience, a vehicle to do so. And those who are spiritually aware, very few of them would ever contract this particular disease. And it is to understand that they are not ready to leave. And therefore, we are not saying that they cannot contract it, but we are saying that if they did, the likelihood of their survival is quite high. In other words, there are quite a few on your planet who have contracted the virus, but have had very minimal amount of symptoms in the process. And therefore, it is likely that they are not ready to leave and would not have used it as an instrument to make their transition.
That's an interesting perspective. I can see that. Well, we only have about 30 seconds to a minute left. Is there anything that you want us to know, Kronos, before you go?
A question that many amongst your listeners might ask is why we do not help you change everything on your planet that is wrong in your opinion. And there is a reason, and it is this. Aside from already having stated that we cannot interfere, except in certain situations, which are exceptions, of course, but it is to understand that there are still quite a few on your planet who would take advantage of the technology that we have to offer and use it not only for private reasons, but also for very selfish purposes. And therefore, when humanity has risen to a level of consciousness where we can share these technologies with you, we will be more than happy to do so.
Thank you so much for being with me today. I so appreciate your wisdom. Thank you.
You are most welcome. And We are honored to be present. So it is.
Well, that was wild, guys. Okay, so we're going to take our second break here. And when we come back, we're going to speak with Ascara, who is Venusian. So we'll see what they have to say. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So that was really wild. We spoke with Kronos, who is Sirian. And hey, Gregory, how you doing over there? I just got to make sure you're okay. Since they are using your body, we're going to talk to Ascara, who is Venusian. So whenever you're ready, Gregory, we're going to go right to it.
Okay. We are the one who is called Ascara. We are the Venusian leader of Earth installations on your planet. How may we assist you?
Wow. Welcome, Ascara. Thank you for being here. So for those who are listening to you for the first time, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your planet and why you are here?
We are on your planet in order to assist, and we establish approximately 11 installations deep within the crevices of the ocean. A long time ago, our race learned how to manifest molecules and how to store many different layers of them in one place, and therefore, within what you would consider a speck of dust, we can create almost an entire universe. Our installations are not detectable to your military, nor are they detectable to your scientists. And we encourage visitors to come and visit our installations. And that is a process that is, of course, limited to a few, so to speak. We are here on your planet to avoid nuclear destruction. We are also here to assist in keeping control of what are called the reptilians, which are a race that live underground on your planet, a race that feed on fear. We, of course, feed them love, and we keep what you might call tabs or visible surveillance on them to make certain that they do not cause more damage than they could. Everything that we do is designed to assist the human race, and it is to understand that our installations can literally be ready to travel in approximately 13 seconds. We are also going to tell you what we look like to you if you were to see us. We are approximately 9 feet tall, or 3 meters for those who are European. We are a feminine race. We do not have gender, but if you were to describe our energy, it would be more feminine in nature. Within our physical structures, there are a number of different colors of energy that are constantly flowing, and we describe it as liquid light. And it is to understand that that is one of the ways that we communicate with one another. Very much like the Sirians, we are capable of what you call mental telepathy, and we do not use language per se, though we are quite conversant in a great number of different languages on a telepathic level. And it is to understand that we do not return to our planet, for there is no reason to. It is also to understand that we are monitoring what takes place on your planet in the oceans, in what you call the Terra or the Earth, and also in all of the mineral content that takes place on your planet.
Wow. Oh, that's wild. Okay, thank you for that. So are Venusians ever inhabiting Earth suits? And if they are, why? And are any of them in high-powered positions of power?
That was attempted quite a long time ago. From our perspective, it was not what you would call a successful venture. And at this point in time, to our knowledge, unless there is someone who may have been what you would call one of the ancestors, in other words, one who had a descendant who may have some Venusian blood in them, we are not aware of anyone at this point in time who is wearing what you call an Earth suit.
Okay, so you mentioned the reptilians. Thank you for that. So, and thank you for confirming about the reptilians, because there are some people that believe that there exists and some that don't. So the reptilians, do they inhabit Earth human suits?
There are some who have, again, attempted that. We have made a great effort to put a stop to it, so to speak. And, again, as far as we are aware, based upon vibrational frequencies that we monitor, there are none at this point in time. There may be some who appear to be so, based on what you might call a kind of, we'll call it magic for lack of a better term. In other words, they have the appearance or the ability to appear as if they are that energy. But from our perspective, they are not. Again, they may have been a descendant of such a creature, so to speak. But it is to understand that we have put a stop to that as best we can.
That's good to know. Okay, so my next question is, are there any nefarious extraterrestrial aliens that do experiments on humans? And if they do, for what purposes? And many people believe in alien abductions. Is that something that is real or not?
It was real some time ago. But again, based upon the Sirians, the Venusians, and the Pleiadians being a part of what is called the Federation of Planets, we have done our best to avoid any more of that kind of activity. There were those species who could not reproduce, and at one point they were doing research on how they might implant their seed, so to speak, into human females in order to reproduce a kind of hybrid that they might be able to control. But it is to understand that most of that activity, as far as we know, has been stopped. In other words, it would be more of a past kind of experience than a present one.
Would animal mutilations also be under that, or is that something else?
There may have been a few, but it would have been very few. And from our perspective, there are those aspects of humanity that have perpetrated that particular myth, if you will. Now, of course, there are visual images of such mutilations. We are not saying they did not take place, but we are saying that the majority of them were not originated by extraterrestrials. They were part of what you might call a campaign to create fear within your population about the intention of extraterrestrials who do not live on your planet.
Okay, that clears up some things. And there are rumors that the White House, the government, or parts of the government, past or present, have had contact with extraterrestrials. Is that rumor true, or is that a false rumor?
From our perspective, it is very true. There had been agreements made, so to speak, with some of your higher leaders. But it is to understand that the majority of those agreements, again, they have played out, so to speak. And because some of them were attempts to control those in your populations, and they were agreements that were made allowing for what you call collateral damage. From our perspective, those agreements are no longer in place. They are not allowed.
So is Earth a part of the Federation?
Your planet is in the process of entering the Federation, and there are a number of groups that are working on raising the consciousness of those on your planet and the very consciousness of the planet so that it may become a part of the Federation of Planets. There are a number of probabilities that can take place in the future. One that has been, shall we say, prophesied is the aspect of a glacial overtaking of your planet. We are doing all we can to avoid that. There is no reason for your planet to undergo another ice age. From our perspective, it would be a waste of time and energy. And therefore, we are attempting to allow and encourage as much tolerance as possible amongst your populations to begin to learn how to understand one another and to tolerate one another with love instead of judgment and hatred.
Okay, so to follow up on that, I was going to ask you what we collectively as humans could do to raise our consciousness for each other, this planet, Earth, and what should we be doing?
As often as you can, tune into your own stillness. As often as possible, allow yourself to engage in spiritual aspects, Qigong, Tai Chi, prayer, contemplation, meditation, and spend more time out in nature quietly. In other words, connect with the devas and the elementals and the fairies. Imagine yourself immersed in seawater, just simply standing still, if you will, or sitting perhaps, and allow yourself to get quiet and close your eyes and imagine that you are tuning in to the water and the ocean. And give yourself permission to go into that still place. That is where you will connect with your higher consciousness. And that is how you can connect with us.
I love that. So, yeah, you mentioned about being in the seawater. So if we wanted, could we connect with you? Could we see you? Or are we just not conscious enough to be there? And then the second part of my question is, do dolphins see you and communicate with you?
Dolphins and cetaceans are Sirian by nature. Mm-hmm. They were placed on your planet for the purpose of monitoring the planet. They are actually here for quite a long time beyond when they were designed to be here. But they enjoyed the environment in which they lived, and they very much enjoy the company of one another. They would have been taken back by the Sirians, but they opted to remain. Whales have done the same thing. And so it is you ask the question about connecting with us. Mm-hmm. Before you go to sleep, simply ask if you can connect with the Venusian race. A number of women on your planet have been asked through this particular messenger to assist us in raising the frequency of humanity. And they have created a number of possibilities. And it is important to understand that in the dream time, in your dreams, during the phases of sleep, either at night or when you are napping during the day, you may have the opportunity to witness us. You can be granted that opportunity. But it will take place in your sleep. It will take place in the deepest parts of your meditation. And many of you who have now heard our name, that will be the trigger, so to speak, that allows for this process of communication to occur.
Wow. Well, thank you, Ascara. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I appreciate your messages. Thank you.
The concept of being out of time is amusing to us. Thank you for that note of entertainment. So be it.
Pretty wild, huh, guys? So Gregory is amazing what he does. He's going to be back in the end of June, which is June 30th, I think. Yeah, June 30th. So we'll be channeling more. Hi, Gregory. Are you back?
I am back.
Thank you so much. It was awesome as always. And you guys check out GregoryPossman.com and see what he's doing. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. Wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, love, and peace.